Please take up your copies of God's Word again and turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3, and I want us to read the entire section again, beginning at verse 18 and down into chapter 4 and verse 1. Colossians 3 and verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Well, let's again pray together and ask God for his blessing. Our Father, we thank you that you have not left us to wonder how to live in this world, but you have given us very clear instructions in your word. And so we pray that as we come again to this section this morning, that you would be our teacher, that you would write these words on our hearts, that you would grant to us the understanding that we need, and especially our God, that you would give us grace to live out the Bible. Heavenly Father, just like we were reading from the Sermon on the Mount, we want to be people who please you. We want to be conscious that you are looking down upon our lives. And oh, our God, that you would smile when you see us. We know that can only take place as we rely upon Christ, as we seek you for your grace. So we ask that you would come to us again this morning and be our helper. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can plainly see from our reading, we're coming back to this section in Colossians where the apostle is addressing family relationships. And you may remember that in this section there are three pairs of relationships: wives and husbands, children and parents, and slaves and masters. And the fundamental characteristic of all of these relationships, which Paul is eager to point out, is that these relationships are established in authority. In each of the pairs, he first addresses those who are to be under authority in the relationships: wives and children and slaves. And then he addresses the ones whom God has placed in authority: husbands, fathers, masters. In the address to those under authority, he stresses the response of those whom God, their response to the ones whom God has placed over them. In verse 18, it's wives submit. In verse 20, it's children obey. In verse 22, it's slaves obey. But then in addressing those who are in authority, he stresses the kind and gentle manner that must mark their exercise of authority. Verse 19, husbands, love. Verse 21, fathers, do not provoke. Chapter 4 and verse 1, masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly. So clearly, God is concerned that authority in the home be recognized, but also that authority be exercised in a way that does good to everyone in the relationships in the home. In other words, God wants Christian families to experience wonderful relationships. And much of that is going to take place in the way that authority is exercised and authority is responded to. Now, we've looked at the first pair, wives and husbands. And so that brings us to the second pair, children and fathers. This morning, we're going to look at the first group in that pair, the children. And so what I want to bring today is a sermon for the children. Now, everybody knows who the children are. And so a good part of my sermon this morning, I'm going to be standing and looking this way because that's where all the children are. So this is a sermon particularly that I have made for you today. And I've been thinking about you this week as I've been preparing this message. Now obviously this is something pretty unique. It's not week by week that I come with a sermon to the children. Obviously, the Apostle Paul knew, even though he hadn't been to Colossae, that there were some children sitting in that congregation. And so he wrote something specifically for them. Thankfully, that's our situation as well. How poor we would be if there were no children among us, and so we can thank God for that. Now, children, here's something especially I want you to remember. If you were listening when I spoke to the wives and to the husbands, I said I want them to listen as though God were sitting right in front of them. Now, of course, we know that God is always right in front of us. But we can't see that, and so sometimes we forget that. And so this morning, I want you to think that God is right in front of you and that He's speaking to you. And He wants you to listen to what He says in the Word of God. And I want each one of you who's a child to go home today with this thought stuck in your mind. God has been speaking to me today. I hope that's what you're going to go home with in your minds. Now, our sermon is three pretty simple questions. So three questions for us to consider, and they get shorter as we go along. First of all, what is a child's most important duty in the family? What is a child's most important duty in a family? Now that word duty might be hard to understand. So let's make sure that you know what I'm talking about this morning. Duty is a word that has definitely gone out of style. In fact, many people hate the word duty today and don't even think it belongs in a Christian environment. But it is a very important word and should be very important to us as Christians. In fact, you're not going to understand the Bible if you don't understand this word, duty. Duty is something that is required of you by someone in authority over you. Duty is something that is required of you by someone in authority over you. Well, let's make that practical. Your mom says to you, "I want you to clean your room." I bet most of you children have had your mom say that to you at one time or another. I want you to clean your room. That's a duty that your mom is giving to you. Your mom is an authority over you. God has placed her over you. And so she has said to you, I want you to clean your room. That's a duty. Or maybe you're at school. And your teacher says to you, I want you to draw a picture of a bird. Well, that's a duty. It might be something fun that you want to do, but that's a duty because your teacher, who is an authority over you, has said to you, I want you to draw a picture of a bird. So, what do we need to understand that God is saying to children here? What is the duty that God requires of children in the home? Now, as we think about that question, there might be many answers we could give in answering what God requires of children in the home. This might be an answer. You might say, God wants me to be kind to my brothers and sisters. Well, that would be a good answer because that's true. God wants you to be kind to your brothers and sisters. Or someone else might have another answer. What's this important duty that God has for you? You might say, well, God wants me to help mom and dad with chores around the house. Maybe cleaning up the table after dinner time. Maybe you've got to take the dishes over to the counter or help mom wash up afterwards. Well, that would be a good answer. That would be something that God would want you to do. Or someone might have another answer. God wants me to share my toys with my brother and sister. And that would be a good answer too. That would be something pleasing to the Lord. Those are all good answers. But there's one thing that God specifies in His Word above everything else is the duty that God wants children to carry out in their families. It's right here in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything. That's pretty clear. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in everything. So in the future, if someone comes to you and asks you the question, what's the major duty that God wants you to carry out in your family? Let's say I come over for lunch one day and we're talking at the table and I say to you, I'm kind of quizzing you from the Bible, what's the major duty that God requires of you? What would you answer? Well, I hope you would answer this. God wants me to obey my parents. That's number one above everything else in terms of your duty in your family. God wants you to obey your parents. Now that requirement should not be a surprise to anyone because it is exactly what God spelled out in the Ten Commandments. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Ephesian church, which is like a twin letter to this letter to the Colossians, and he addressed children there, he said almost the same thing, and he quoted from the Ten Commandments. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the commandment. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so every child should have the confidence that from God's word that God's express will is for you is to obey your parents. Now, what does it mean to obey? What's the heart of this duty that God would speak to you about from His Word? Well, I think that every English Bible translation has the same word, obey. And we could define that word simply as, you must do what you are told to do. You must do what you are told to do. For instance, your dad says to you, I want you to clean out the van. If you're going to obey your dad, what are you going to do? you're going to go to the van and you're going to clean out the van. Or if your mom says to you, it's time to put on your pajamas and go to bed, what are you going to do if you're going to obey? You're going to put your pajamas on and you're going to get ready for bed. That's obedience. To obey is to do what you're told to do. But the word that the Apostle Paul uses here conveys more than just doing what you're told to do. It actually comes from a root word that means to listen to someone, to pay attention to someone. So even more than doing what you're told to do, God wants you to listen to your parents. He wants you to pay attention to your parents. He wants you to have your ears wide open to hear what your parents are saying to you. Now that's usually where problems with obedience start. It's not simply when children won't obey their parents, but when they won't listen to them. You go out into the world, let's say you go to the grocery store, and you listen to parents and children, and when there's a problem, it's often because a child won't listen to his parents. But Paul says that's not to be true in Christian families. God wants you to obey your parents, to do what they say, and it's going to start by listening to what your parents are saying to you. In the book of Proverbs, a book in the Old Testament that is all about wisdom, it's about how to live in a right way and please God. Proverbs is mostly a book in which a father is teaching his son how to grow up and live like a man in the world in a way that pleases God. And over again, this father exhorts his son to listen. Let me give you some examples. From Proverbs chapter 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. What's he saying to his son? Listen to your dad. Listen to your mom. That's part of God's plan. And then in chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. There the father is saying, if you will be a child, if you will be a son or a daughter who takes the words of your dad and your mom and you listen to them, and not only do you listen to them, you say, these words are important. What my dad and what my mom are saying to me, this is to be like treasure. And I'm supposed to take them and I'm supposed to hold on to them and I'm supposed to live by them. That's what God wants me to do. And then in chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And so there's the reminder that parents, when they speak words, sometimes they give commandments. Sometimes they give rules. They say, I want you to do this or I want you not to do this. And you're to treasure those things because God will bless your life when you listen to your parents and obey. So God is telling us, not only is it right to obey, not only is it wise to obey, the child who has a listening ear and is eager to hear what his mom and dad have to say, that's a wise child. That's a child who's going to grow up and know the blessing of God as they grow. So here's the most important duty that you as a child are given by God in your home: to obey your parents in everything. Now that leads us to question number 2. Why is this so important? If the major duty that God gives to children is to obey their parents, Why is this so important? Why spend so much time on this subject of obeying your parents? Is it really that important? When you think of important things, it might be things like this. Not forgetting to take your lunch when you go to school. If you go to school, that's usually a very important thing. Don't forget your lunch. Or it might be learning to tie your shoelaces. When you're young, that's something very important, learning to tie your shoelaces so you're not tripping over them all of the time. There are lots of things in life that seem very important. So why is this duty important? Why does God make it so important that you should learn to obey your parents? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us here, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. For this pleases the Lord. The Apostle Paul is reminding us that God has an opinion about children obeying their parents. Not only does God say it's right, not only does God say it's wise, God says that it pleases him. God says it's a delightful thing when he looks down on Christian families and sees children obeying their parents. Now, why is that important? Why should we care what God thinks about our actions? Why should we care about pleasing God? Well, we need always to remember that God has made us. We're God's creation. And if you're older in your family and you've got younger brothers and sisters, you can remember that time when your mom's belly began to swell out. And you learned that there was a baby in there. Someone who was going to become a sister or a brother to you. Well, that happened to every one of us. And even though God used your mom and God used your dad, that was God's work in your mother's womb. God was creating you in there. The psalmist says God knit you together. Have you ever watched somebody knit? And they've got wool and those needles and they're knitting and they're making something. Well, that's what God was doing with you in your mother's womb. He was knitting you together. He was making you. Not only is God your creator, but he's also the one who cares for you and provides everything that you need. So, the clothes that you have on, you might say, well, my mom and dad bought those for me. Well, who enabled your mom and dad to have the money to buy those things? It was God. God provided the job. God provided the money. When you go home today and you have lunch on the table, you need to remember that God gave that food to your family. He's giving that to you. And even as you sit here this morning, and you might not be conscious of it, but you're breathing in and out, and your heart is beating. Well, that breath is from God. And your heart beating, that's God's good gift to you. God is caring for you in every way. And God has placed you in a Christian home. God has placed you in a home where you can learn the Bible and learn about Jesus Christ and learn the good news of the gospel. God has blessed you far beyond what you understand. But not only is God our creator and our provider, God is also our judge. And there's coming a day when we are all going to have to stand before him, and we are going to have to give an answer, an account of our life. We're going to have to answer to God for the thoughts we've had, the words we've spoken, and the actions that we have done. We're going to have to answer to God for all of those things. And on that day of judgment, it's going to matter a whole lot whether your actions have been pleasing to God or not. Now, as children in Christian families being taught these truths, you need to know that there are a lot of people in the world who will try to persuade you differently. They will try to tell you that what God thinks about your actions don't mean anything. In fact, they might even try to convince you that there isn't a God. And you need to be able to identify those influences and reject their thinking. Sometimes the enemies of God and of His Word try to make themselves out to be very friendly, nice people. And they can try to fool us while they seek to influence our thinking. This past week, I heard a song. It's not one that I normally listen to, but I heard it from the movie Frozen by Disney. Now, I've never seen that movie. I don't know if any of you have seen that movie. I know a lot of children have seen that movie, and its words, its songs, really stick in your mind. The song that I heard was the well-known Let It Go. Maybe you've never heard of it, but it's very familiar. Let it go, let it go, let it go. It sort of goes on and on. It sticks in your mind. But as I heard it, one of the verses stuck out in my mind, and it so shocked me that I had to go home and type it into the computer and read it. Here's the verse that really struck me. It's about a girl, I think, who's growing up and sort of learning to experience life. And this is what she says or what she sings. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. Now, in what would pretend to be a friendly voice to children, that is a blatant attack on God's word. God is saying, children, obey your parents in everything. And Disney in this movie is saying, no right, no wrong, no rules, no boundaries. You don't have to obey anybody. You're free. That's the lie of the devil. And you have to learn to recognize what looks like really nice, friendly sources and learn to do what we call discern. Figure out what's right and what's wrong and what needs to be rejected. God has given us rules and boundaries. And when any of us, doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult, says, no rules, no boundaries, no limits, what that is sin. That's what God says is sin in His Word. God Himself has given us rules and boundaries. He's given us His commandments. And God has done that not because He's mean, not because God wants to take all of the fun out of our lives. He's given us rules and commandments because He knows they're good for us. They keep us safe. They provide security and give peace in a home. The rules help us to know how to love each other. And as you grow up, you're going to learn that your greatest freedom is not when you're rid of the rules. Your greatest freedom is when you submit to the rules and you say, Lord, I want to belong to You. That will be the most wonderful freedom you've ever known. So, the most important requirement, the most important duty that God has given to us is, children, obey your parents. And the reason why that is so important is that by listening to your parents and doing what they say, this will be pleasing to God. Can you imagine God up in heaven, seated on his throne, looking down on you in your family, and seeing you listening and obeying to your parents, and God smiling. That's a beautiful thing. That ought to be a great encouragement. Well, that brings us to the third and final question. And this is the shortest of all of them. Here's the question. Why do I struggle to obey my parents? Why do I struggle to obey my parents? As you grow older and get to know yourself better, you will recognize a struggle going on within you. You know what your parents have taught you, that God wants you to obey in everything. You know that there are consequences for failing to obey. I'm sure many of you have felt the impact of disobedience. And yet you recognize, even after feeling the consequences, that you keep being disobedient. I can't remember if I've told you this story from my own childhood before. It might have been when the children were all in their classes. We lived on a dead-end street, and the street was lined with families who had kids my age. So there was always lots of people to play with. And I remember the day as clear as can be. I don't know if I was 6 or 8, but it was a beautiful day. It was after school. I was up the street playing with my friends. And my dad had a whistle that you could hear from anywhere in the neighborhood. And the call to come home for supper was my dad would come out the front door and he would whistle up the street. And I remember I was playing with my friends and really enjoying it. And I heard my dad whistle. And I was enjoying my fun too much. And so I just kept playing. And then later I thought I'd better get home. And I'm sure if you had a video of that, it would have been like a dog with a tail between his hind legs. Boy, did I get it when I got home. I never ignored my dad's whistle again. But that wasn't the end of my disobedience. That was the end of my struggle to obey my parents. Sometimes they'd tell me to take out the garbage or bring in the garbage can when I came home from school, and I just kind of walk by it and then say, oh, I forgot. Why was there that ongoing struggle in my heart? Often in children who grow up in Christian families, they recognize this great conflict going on in their hearts. They know what God wants. They know what this primary requirement is. They may even want to please their parents. They may even have a desire to please God. But they keep failing, and they find it impossible to do what they need to do. Well, that's where the gospel comes in. None of us can do these things that God commands us for family relationships without Jesus Christ. And here I'm not just speaking to the children. I'm speaking to the wives. I'm speaking to the husbands. To all of us. We hear God's commandments concerning our family relationships. And we recognize how often we break God's teaching. How often we break these requirements. None of us can do any of these things that God commands us without Jesus Christ. We don't have the strength within us. We're all sinners, and so we keep doing what is wrong. Children don't obey their parents. Husbands don't love their wives. Wives don't submit to their husbands. And we discover that only the Lord Jesus can enable us to do what truly pleases God. And the Bible tells us that's why the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to suffer and die. By dying on the cross, He provided a sacrifice to forgive all of our sins. And by His death on the cross, He also gives us the power to do what God wants us to do. So the bottom line here is, you need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to go to the Lord Jesus and ask Him to forgive you for all of your sins. You need to confess your sins to the Lord. You need to acknowledge, Lord Jesus, I've often disobeyed my parents. I've often failed to obey what they've told me to do. I have often failed to listen to them the way You want me to listen to them. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. Cleanse me by Your precious blood and save me, change me. Give me a heart that wants to obey my parents. And give me the power to do what God wants me to do. Help me to live a life that is pleasing to God. Well, children, I hope that you will go home today knowing that God has been speaking to you. And I hope that you will have this understanding. What's the most important thing God wants me to do in my family? It's to obey my parents in everything. And how can I do that? Not in my own strength, but only as I go to Jesus Christ and ask Him to save me and change me and empower me. May you as children be those who delight God because you're relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you're seeking to obey what He has told you in His Word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word and how it speaks to us very clearly. Lord, we're all here before You as sinners this morning, acknowledging that we have no power in ourselves to do what You say. Please, our God, may we be found every day going to the Lord Jesus Christ and relying upon Him for saving grace and mercy, for forgiveness for our sins, and power to be able to live in a way that pleases You, our God. Heavenly Father, do a great work in our midst. How we pray, our God, that we would see our children growing up to be young people and young adults who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who know the love of Christ in their own lives and desire to serve You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.